Well, happy Denver Pride, everyone. And there are numerous celebrations happening all over the city, and I hope that each of you can find a way to participate in a way that is meaningful to you. This weekend is also the Mountain Sky Conference annual conference, which is being held in Colorado Springs. And Pastor Stephanie, Reverend Don Sperber, Fiona Morrison Price, and Wes Reynolds are all the representatives for Highlands for us up there. And each June at Highlands United Methodist Church, we celebrate Pride Month. It's when, of course, we hang an additional banner on the side of our building that says, "We are proud that God loves all people, every race, gender, age, every sexual identity, every class, every status, every ability, every country of origin." And of course, these are values that we live into every month and every day of the year, since it is who we are. Yet it remains critical that each June we take this opportunity to continue to showcase, and I'm going to use this word, to continue to flaunt the absolute truth that God loves all people. Celebrating Pride Month each year here at Highlands is part of what makes us resilient. There are still people and there are still institutions that are working hard and are good at not just taking away individual rights, but taking away constitutional rights, which occurred for the very first time in our country's history just a few years ago. This is why celebrating Pride is still important. It is about resilience. It is about showing up again and again and again. It is about knowing that light and truth are more powerful than darkness. This is why Pride matters. Now, from the Library of Congress, June 28, 1969, marks the beginning of the Stonewall Uprising, a series of events between police and LGBTQ plus protesters, which stretched over 6 days. It was not the first time that the police raided a gay bar, and it was not the first time that the LGBTQ plus people fought back. But the events that would unfold over the next 6 days would fundamentally change the discourse surrounding the LGBTQ plus activism in the United States. While Stonewall became well known due to the media coverage and the subsequent annual Pride traditions that followed, it was accumulation of years of LGBTQ plus activism. Historians have noted that the shift in activism, if Stonewall truly represented one for all, was a shift primarily for white cisgendered people, as people of color and gender non-conforming people never truly had the benefit of concealing their marginalized identities. While the events of Stonewall are often referred to as riots, Stonewall veterans have explicitly stated that they prefer the term uprising or rebellion. The reference to these events as riots was initially used by police to justify their use of force. It is also important to note that there were a number of uprisings against police and state brutality, harassment, and entrapment of the LGBT plus communities in the United States years before Stonewall. These events and the people involved did not reach as much historical attention as Stonewall, but are just as central to the understandings of the U.S. LGBTQIA plus histories. Some of the pre-Stonewall uprisings included the Pepper Hill Club Raid in Baltimore, Maryland in 1955, over 162 people arrested, the Cooper's Donuts Raid in Los Angeles, California in 1959, the Black Knight Brawl in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, August 5th, 1961, Compton's Cafeteria Raid in San Francisco, California in 1966, Black Cat Raid, Los Angeles, California, 1967. Resilience is born out of frustration. Now, frustration on so many levels. I'm not talking about the surface level type of frustration of not winning a game, so you keep trying until you achieve your desired result. But the type of frustration where resilience is born is out of the deep, deep, deep injustices, which can, and rightfully so, cause anger. In high school and while I was in college, I worked at summer camps and during the school year at numerous before and after school programs. And of course, there were times when the kids would get angry and act out and sometimes hurt another kid physically or verbally. I'll pull them aside and ask what happened and take the time to listen so they knew that they were being heard. And I would eventually ask them this question. Do you know it's okay to get angry? Now, many of the times the kids would shake their heads, no. I would assure them that getting angry is okay and that even I get angry. And more times than not, they were super surprised to learn that Mr. Brandon got angry. So I would let them know that it is okay to get angry, but what is important is what you do with that anger. If you feel like you need to go throw rocks, come and get me. We can go outside and throw them. That happened countless, countless times. The kids needed to know that it was okay to be mad. And as adults, it is our responsibility that in order to be our most powerful and valuable person, we find ways to use our anger for our benefit. It's called resilience. Children are innately resilient. It's a beautiful thing. And it's something that we as adults can rekindle within ourselves. So the spiritual side of resilience is presence. Jesus teaches us about resilience through his presence. And the numerous times that he says, I will never leave you. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present day. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35 through 41, later that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. They left the crowd and took him in a boat just as he was. Other boats followed along. Gale force winds arose and waves crashed against the boat, so the boat was swamped. But Jesus was in the rear of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke him up and said, teacher, teacher, don't you care that we're drowning? He got up, gave orders to the wind and to the lake, silence, be still. The wind settled down and there was a great calm. Jesus asked them, why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet? See, I think this is the perfect example of getting mad. Jesus asked them, why are you afraid? Jesus did ask him that. And don't you have faith yet? Now, see, I think this is the perfect example of getting mad. Jesus said to his disciples, come on, get in, and let's go to the other side of the lake. Jesus initiated it after all. And I can only imagine that there was some, at some point, they were like, I'm not going to do it. You go do it. No, you do it. Among the disciples who were going to wake him up. Until one of them was like, fine, fine, I'll do it. We're drowning and we have no more time. And because the text says, don't you have faith yet, means to me that this was not their first lesson. So Jesus spoke to the wind and to the waters, silence, be still. I like to think that is lesson number two for the disciples and for us. Shh, ground yourself in peace, silence the noise in your head, and be still. A lesson in resilience from Jesus. Keep showing up. Keep teaching. Keep being present. And in the book of John, the book that we have been exploring this Pride Month, chapter 14, verse 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. The Creator's house has many rooms. If it were not so, where would I have told you? Would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the place where I am going. The spiritual side of resilience is showing up. And dating back to 1955 at the Pepper Hill Club to present day, members of the queer community kept showing up. By continuing to show up, we evolve. By continuing to show up, we love deeper. By continuing to show up, we leave what we found better. By continuing to show up, we become more resilient. A couple years ago, during Pride Month, I also preached. And within that message, I shared a passage from a book that I had come across while I was in college. And the book is called Coming Out Spiritually, The Next Step. And as a member of the queer community, I can only speak for myself and my own experience. Yet I think the thing that is often overlooked by those on the outside is that queer people are always, always coming out. Over and over and over and over again. When one starts a new job, when one goes church shopping, needing to correct someone on their pronouns, all of this is showing up. All of this is being present. All of this is being resilient. So a passage from Coming Out Spiritually, The Next Step. Coming out is a profoundly spiritual act. Coming out means letting go. Letting go of fear, letting go of limitation, letting go of anything and everything that has held us back or anything we have been grabbing onto. It's about rejecting the lies and embracing the truth, whatever the consequences. Coming out is an act of courage. It's an act of love. It means relinquishing our self-protection, casting off the illusion of security, and allowing ourselves to be who we are, regardless of what anyone else says or thinks we should be or do. Although it can be easy for others to see when we're not being ourselves, no one but ourselves can tell us who we are. Coming out spiritually is about letting go. Rejecting feelings of shame or embarrassment because we are on a conscious spiritual path. Now, despite this being the last Sunday in June and officially concludes our liturgical season of Pride, our work doesn't stop. If anything, Pride Month is a reminder, as it reignites our anger, as it underscores injustices, giving us the opportunity to build upon the strength of our resilience. Amen.